Welcome back to the Greg Hill Show. Courtney in for Greg. He is on Nantucket enjoying his last 24 hours really there before he has to head back to the real world.
Yes.
Praying for him. And thank you to everybody that's on Twitch early this morning. They're giving a lot of support to Jackson, as always. And if you want to watch on Twitch, we're there every single day live. And that's brought to you by Springer's Jewelers. If you're looking for a diamond, please see our friends at Springer's Jewelers in tax-free Portsmouth, New Hampshire. The team at Springer's takes the time to teach you how to buy a diamond. Visit springersjewelers.com. Curtis and I were just talking about how great the city is during this time. The weather's been good. Castle Island's been great.
Perfect.
I have to ask you, though, because we live so close to Sullivan's
and
to Sully's. And do you go there often? Because it's the best seafood, I think, around. Like, to pick up seafood and eat right there.
Yeah.
Every time we do it, we're like, why don't we do this more often?
And it's the best price.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so I have, unfortunately, like, James just eats the French fries when we go there. He doesn't want anything else, and so it's
He's not a seafood guy yet.
Not yet. He did like calamari for a bit, then I realized he just liked the breading.
Okay.
But I go there, you know, a couple times a month to eat. I'll pick something up, or they'll meet me out there by the end. But it is a phenomenal place. Unfortunately, it got in some like James Beard list this year.
Oh.
So like even in times where you'd think it's not too crowded, there's like the cruise ships come in and all the, you know, the foodies show up. So a sneaky good place is Yankee Lobster in the seaport.
Yeah,
they have a
love
small
that.
Little fish market. They have a good spot. You can eat right outside. And it's not quite as bougie as the other end of the seaport.
Well, people also like Luke's.
I've never been to Luke's
Lobster.
Yeah,
me neither. But people say it's the best lobster roll around.
Yeah. I mean, candidly, it's like going to Italy and getting a cup of pasta or bowl of pasta. If you come to Boston and you get lobster and it's not good, you should probably go to a new place.
I forget. Are you hot or cold?
Hot.
Yeah, same. Thank God.
It's just the drawn butter. It's sort of like how you get your popcorn. Just sub the lobster for the popcorn.
Yeah, and you know what I really love that they've become so good at every movie theater where you put your own butter on your popcorn.
They do.
It just changes the game. And if you do the straw trick where you put the straw in the popcorn and put the butter through it, Tom knows what I'm talking about. Put the butter through the straw so it can get to all layers of the popcorn. Kind of a fat kid move, but it's very, very good.
I have spent most of my life as a fat kid. And another John Dennis used to tell me about the popcorn trick, which was something totally different and X-rated.
I don't know that one.
You don't Google it.
Okay.
Have you ever done the free popcorn trick, not the one you're talking about, Curtis, where you go into an empty theater or like one that people are leaving and you grab one of the extra large popcorns off the top? And then you go to the front because the extra large always have the free refill. And you say, hey, can I get a new one? Can I get a new one? And they almost always will give you a new bucket, free popcorn.
Okay. I think that's stealing, Tom.
Yeah,
but
that goes in the golf bag corner with Jackson.
It's expensive.
It is expensive.
Yeah,
the prices are outrageous.
God love you. Just that wasn't Tom. That was Terp. No, we like Terp. There's a food take and it is so whatever. Who cares? Like, this is the most pathetic thing, but if I could really, you say popcorn's your favorite food and I give you a hard time. I get so incredibly happy when I remember to put a potato in the oven, bake it, come home, cook whatever, shrimp, chicken, whatever, and have a great, properly done baked potato is so underrated.
What do you put on it?
Just butter. Not cream cheese, no bacon.
Well, not cream cheese, sour cream.
I mean sour cream.
Yep.
No, not.
I like a cheese and sour
cream.
No,
I don't like it loaded. When I go to like the nice steakhouses, I like the bacon bits. Those are lovely.
Yep.
But I don't have time to make those at home. So, a great baked potato is just so freaking good.
You're right, as is a nice corn on the cob. To make that at home is such a delight.
I like making it. I don't like corn.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's shocking.
I get it. I can chop it up for James, but I'm not a... I like shucking. It's very relaxing.
Yeah.
Is that what you call it?
Yeah, shucking.
Yeah. I enjoy it, but no, I never been a corn guy.
Okay. Interesting.
I mean, you like the popcorn. I like popcorn.
Yeah, of course.
It's lovely.
All right. Enough food. Let's get back to sports. Let's get to today's leads.
This is the Greg Hill Show. Time now for...
Very close. It's the Offspring.
Hand to God, that was the first thing that popped in my head.
Go with your gut, Curtis. Go with your gut.
I would have never got this, but the leads today brought to you by Subaru. With so much love, don't miss the Subaru of New England A Lot to Love event. Find your authorized Subaru retailer at SubaruofNewEngland.com. Jackson, good morning.
Good morning. I am a man who celebrates small victories because, you know, you don't know when the next big victory is going to come.
True.
And this is partly not inspired, but Curtis helped me along this journey a little bit. Along with my father and the wonderful great Ozzy Osbourne. Today will be 2 months since I had a drop of alcohol.
Jackson!
And like I said, small victories. I know it's 2 months, but it's the longest I've gone without drinking since I can drink, as far as I can remember, for the most part. Nothing serious, nothing crazy brought it on, but I thought, you know, I gotta grow up, stop drinking like a crazy person, and, you know, get some stuff together, and I did that, and 2 months, it's not as hard as I thought it would be, but it's not also easy at some points. Like last night, I played in a softball game. We had a doubleheader. Yeah, America. Woo.
Nice.
And everybody was everybody shotgunned a beer between games. And I'm like, that's the kind of stuff that I miss with the whole camaraderie of drinking, but that's pretty much about it. But Curtis, I'm wondering, did you get extremely bored the first like couple of months you stopped drinking?
No, I mean, the first couple, I was in the hospital, and then I was at rehab, so...
Oh, well, okay. My problem is, it's one, the camaraderie that comes with a fun, you know, everybody drinks together, and two, it's the boredom. I don't feel different mentally at all, don't feel different physically at all. It's not like I was drinking, like, I wasn't drinking, you know, gallons and gallons, but I was drinking a good amount, but it's weird that I don't feel different, but I do feel pride, so that's what I'm holding on to.
That's awesome, Jackson. Congratulations. And there's so many options nowadays, mocktails and non-alcoholic beers, that if you don't have a drinking problem where, like, even a non-alcoholic beer, I think, has a percentage in it, and a lot of people want to stay away from that, but, like, you may get placebo effect off of just holding a beer to feel that.
You could. The biggest thing for me was my liver numbers. They were astronomical, which was scary as hell, but also just seeing that other people... At one point, I was like, why, you know, I like drinking. Why am I going to stop? And I didn't think I could do it. But then you just kind of one day just put it down and don't look back. And so
That's
far,
awesome.
So good.
And you must feel great.
Yeah, I feel, like I said, pride is the biggest thing I feel. I don't feel much different physically or mentally. But I do feel proud of myself.
That's awesome, Jack. I'm really happy for you. And you will feel better as time goes on, I think, especially as those liver numbers improve.
But it's not like I was feeling bad. I wasn't feeling lousy. It's just I'm not getting that, like, oh, I feel much better when I wake up thing than a lot of people say.
Instead of being bored, I would exercise. That was a key component for me. Whenever you feel bored, go do something. But I would also say maybe sobriety causes us to be bad at the board.
Perhaps. That is a good point.
Maybe
there's
one side effect.
That is the one thing different.
I've never been able to do it. So.
Well, and everybody always says that I do better when I'm hungover. So
right. My dad golfs better when he's jet lagged.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. No, I just think when I used to do the dry Januaries back in the day, it was like the first 2 weeks you didn't feel any different. But then as it went on, you just feel like tighter. Your body feels better. You feel like you can move more. You're more clear-headed. So, I mean, 2 months is great.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. Well, let's keep going.
Good job, Jack. Tom, good morning.
Good morning, Coco. How are we doing?
We're doing great. It's Thursday. What can you complain about?
Fair enough. I am a little worried now that you got to drink to be good on the board because I don't drink either. So maybe we need to pick up
that's
that
a good
habit.
Choice.
Well done, Tom.
Thank you. But I have fallen for the trap. It's this time of year I've fallen for the trap. I am falling for all of the Patriots preseason hype videos. The Stephon Diggs routing up that guy, giving him the business yesterday at joint practice. Travion Henderson going 70 yards off a 10-yard out route for May. Efton Chizin going up there and grabbing one at a joint practice. I've fully fallen for the trap. And every single year I say, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to get hurt again. This wide receiver room is going to be putrid. And every single year I'm believing. I was big on Polk last year. I was big on Baker last year. And I'm ashamed to say I have fallen for the trap once again that the Patriots wide receivers are not going to be the worst position group on this team. And I think there still could be, but the offensive line looks like it might be worse.
Does it feel like that it's because of the hype videos, or is it because of the fandom that you have, or is it because Mike Vrabel's the head coach now? What's drawing you back in?
It's really just seeing Stephon Diggs. He's the most talented receiver the roster's had since Julian Edelman, far and beyond. And just seeing him give that guy the business yesterday on one-on-ones, running him up. Kyle Williams in preseason giving that guy the business in the red zone, even though Josh Dobbs missed him by 5 yards. Efton Chisholm, the undrafted rookie, just going up there and grabbing it. It's just, I think it's all the videos on Twitter I'm seeing. It just drags me back in like a sucker that I am for hope that the team's going to be good, because we haven't seen a good team since that Mac Jones rookie year. And even then, that wasn't the most fun team to watch.
I love it. Well, I'm back in too, so I think we should all be optimistic going into every season. So good job, Tom. Curtis, what do you have for me this morning?
Hi, Courtney.
Hello.
Oh, boy. I am focusing here on the Patriots and Steph Diggs. This question and reaction that you asked, we have the sound of it, Jack. On Monday, here was Mike Vrabel's terse response to Courtney's question about Stephon Diggs.
Mike, it's awesome that it seems like Stephon Diggs is going to be good for week one. Holding him back on Friday, is that just out of precaution with his recovery?
Coach's decision.
So that stood out to all of us in real time. And there was a lot of reaction to the interview, as there is every week, where people said, you know, he's just Belichickian in this way. He knows how to not answer questions. He really doesn't want to divulge too much into. Nothing to see here. And that sort of has been in the back of my mind since Monday. And then yesterday, I was listening to Jones and Keefe, as I do every day, and they referenced this quote from their receiving coach, Todd Downing, in a Tom Curran story, where he said, the process for Diggs, is going to have to be him learning the system, learning exactly what the quarterback and what Josh is looking for, and making sure he's in the right spot at the right time. As he continues to refine that, I think he'll get on the trajectory we expect him to be. So if you want that to be refined, why wouldn't you do that in a game? And so I know yesterday he was great. I saw the same stuff, Tom. He looked phenomenal, and he's by far and away the most talented guy. But if Drake's in the game, Will Campbell's going to be the left tackle. Mm-hmm. You're going to have the same center. You're going to try and have your starters with him so that you have as close to a facsimile of the real life coming up in a couple weeks as possible, because Drake's only going to play 4 series maybe. And so that was just, it stood out to me. And it's interesting that maybe, you know, because Jones and Keefe listed the guys that were very talented, like Ocho Cinco, that came in here and were athletic and able, but were unable to get into the Josh McDaniels system successfully.
Devil's advocate that could it just be not the system, but Steph Diggs' personality and not thinking that whatever they're calling or whatever plays they want to run, Steph Diggs doesn't think it's the best one? Like, when I listen to what Tommy Curran was saying from that coach, it just to me seems like he needs to learn what's best for the quarterback and what's best for the team. Like, in my mind, I immediately jump to the way in which receivers are perceived, that they're me, me, me. And it's not what's best for Steph Diggs, but what's best for the team.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if that could have anything to do with it. This isn't a slight against Stephon Diggs. It just feels really weird between Vrabel and now this quote that you have such a talented player and you're not using him to his full advantage.
Yeah. And I think the biggest component to this is how we've all heard from the reporters there that Diggs is someone all the receivers follow.
Yeah.
And in a vacuum of real leadership, I mean, they're trying to get Drake to be a leader. But even as we've discussed, the greatest of all time wasn't the leader of those early Patriots teams. It was Willie and Wiggy, obviously.
Yep.
And so to ensure that he's going in the right direction so that others are following in kind. So I think it'll be okay. It's just, I am fascinated to see if Steph Diggs is a captain, because in terms of accomplishment and veteran status, he would be an obvious choice.
And the way everybody's talked about him, in my mind, there's no doubt that he's a captain. And, like, who else is there?
Right.
I mean, Drake May will be one.
Drake May would be one, I'm sure.
Like Hunter Henry. Yeah.
Oh, jinx. Hunter Henry, Drake May. Defensively, my guess is probably Mario Williams, big signing. I would hope a guy making whatever the hell he's making would be on there.
Yeah.
Duggar used to be one. I don't know if he's going to make the team.
Right.
Peppers, not exactly. Yeah, good question. I don't know who would be on defense.
Very interesting. Great lead. We still have mine to get to. We're going to have to take a quick break, but we'll also be able to ask Devin McCourty all about the Patriots, about Steph Diggs, what's going on with Ramondre Stevenson, what he saw in the first preseason game. He's going to join us at 8:20 this morning.